Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 3, and we've been looking at verse number 13, which says, "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, with all his saints." Now we've been looking at some issues over the last couple of episodes related to this idea of the establishing that happens of a member of the body of Christ as they're going through their life after salvation. And we're going to start looking today at this issue of when he's talking about establishing, he's saying your hearts, and exactly what it is that the Apostle Paul is making a reference to when he's talking about the heart of the believer. Now, we know that the Scriptures, when you actually go through, you know, several passages in the Scriptures, you can see how the Bible really does not have a good viewpoint on what the heart actually is. And we can see that, for example, if we go over to the book of Jeremiah, and let's turn to Jeremiah chapter number 17, and we're going to see something that the prophet Jeremiah says related to the heart here. And Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So, the description of the heart here is that it says, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So, the heart of the individual that Jeremiah is speaking of here and writing this in prophecy to the nation of Israel, describing how the heart of a man is deceitful, it's wicked. So the heart of a man, you know, and this is the natural state before this establishing actually occurs, that the heart of a man is completely against the things of God. So that's why you can see how verse 10 here, and speaking specifically of the way things work in prophecy, when it says, "I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings," that the issue is that the only individual that can actually search and know the things of the heart is God. Now, there is a way that individuals can see what's inside of the heart of an individual, you know, from a smaller sense than what God's speaking of, because the book of Matthew makes a statement here. Let's go over to Matthew chapter number 12. And now we're going to see, you know, this is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to be speaking here, you know, to the, you know, the quote-unquote religious leadership of the nation of Israel, those that have been opposing the things that the Lord Jesus Christ has been laying out here. And we're going to see here in Matthew chapter number 12, and we're just going to read one verse here, verse number 34. It says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So, what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying is, what's inside of an individual is what's going to come out of them as they are speaking. So if a person has not had any of the establishing that we've been looking at over the last couple of episodes, the person who doesn't have those things, that what's going to come out of them is going to be things from the world system, the things that are opposed to what God is doing, and it's going to end up with a thing of where you can see how the person is just like everyone else in the world. Now, as the establishing is occurring, what should happen then is that as the heart is actually being changed by some of the things that we've been looking at over the last couple of episodes, that as this process is going on, that what comes out of the individual is more reflective of the doctrine that's contained in the books of Romans through Philemon. And I'm speaking now specifically about individuals during this dispensation, because that is where we get our doctrine for today, is starting in Romans chapter 1 verse 1, ending with the book of Philemon, all based on the information that was given to the Apostle Paul, who identifies himself as the Apostle of the Gentiles. And a person being able to have this process going on the moment that they've put their trust in the gospel message for today. And I want to read the gospel here, and I'm going to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And we're going to read the first four verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This is the gospel message that saves an individual today. This is the only message that can actually provide salvation for an individual. And once, and this is all you have to do, you put your trust in what we just read, you have salvation, and then the process of the establishing can actually start to occur. That's why you see how Paul makes a reference to what the will of God is, that all men would be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's what God wants. God wants man to receive salvation. God wants man to then have this process of being established and coming into the understanding of the doctrine that's been given to us today. Now let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And we're going to see here how the Apostle Paul's going to identify here something related to how man is made up here. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, we're going to read here verse number 23, which says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, as Paul's closing out this epistle here, and we see how he's praying for these saints here in Thessalonica, he's praying related to their sanctification occurring. And he says that he's praying that that God would sanctify them wholly. And that's W-H-O-L-L-Y. So that means the complete individual being sanctified. And when he describes it, then he actually gives the details of it when he says, "And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless." So Paul's defining here what makes up an individual and identifies it as a spirit, a soul, and a body, and that's what makes up a human being. Now, so many times when people talk about this, they talk about the body, soul, and spirit, and they reverse the order of how the Apostle Paul's given it, focusing on the things of the body. But we see how Paul, for us, the members of the body of Christ, that the focus doesn't start with the body. The focus starts with the spirit. And we're just going to very quickly define what these, you know, parts are when we finally get over into chapter number 5 of 1 Thessalonians. We'll get into much more detail of what the spirit, soul, and body actually are. But the spirit would be the mind. You know, well, this is what we typically call the inner man, and the thing that ends up being renewed on that day-to-day basis by the doctrine coming in to the individual. So as we study the Word of God rightly divided, and the Word comes in, the Spirit becomes renewed. Then we have the soul. The soul would be the emotions of the individual. This is what, you know, what we've been looking at would be considered to be the heart of the individual. And then we have the body, which another word for the body we see in the scriptures is the flesh. And this would be the things of where we see that the thing of the sin nature is contained in the body. This is where we see the things of, you know, Paul will talk about, "In my flesh dwelleth no good thing." Now, we see how the scriptures view the flesh. If we go over to Colossians chapter number 2 here, and we're going to see here in Colossians chapter number 2, we're going to read verses 11 and 12. It says, "In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." Now, we see Paul describing this, and he calls it a circumcision made without hands. So he's drawing a distinction between the physical circumcision that you see, that's the sign of the Abrahamic covenant that was made with the nation of Israel, and that's why you see, you know, a term that's used to describe the nation of Israel is the circumcision, because they were identified by that physical circumcision that the scriptures identified that they had to do if they were going to be part of God's program, if they're going to be part of that covenant. They had to make sure that they were actually doing that physical circumcision. Now we see Paul describing this circumcision when he says it's a circumcision made without hands. So This doesn't have anything to do with a physical circumcision. This is a spiritual circumcision that's going on, to where it is just the putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. So, in God's eyes, the flesh, the body, has been put off from the things of the soul and the spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that the body is just completely, you know, dead, because we walk around in a fleshly body. So we still have some issues that go on with that, but it's no longer part of who we are in God's eyes. God looks at the things of, you know, the inner man related to the spirit that's being renewed, related to the heart being sanctified, as we've been looking at in this passage that we've been studying here, when he says, and, you know, and he used the word "establish your hearts" in 1 Thessalonians. Now, the things of the flesh, we see that there is still an issue that goes on for a member of the body of Christ. So let's go over to Galatians chapter number 5. And we're going to see Paul, as he's writing to this assembly in Galatia, dealing with, you know, some struggles that were going on because of the nature of this assembly, and how there were individuals that were doing the things of the law. There were individuals trying to have an influence on the people who are not given the law, and trying to get them to say, you need to do the things of the law in order to be, you know, in line with what God wants you to do, knowing that because the law works on to try to bring the flesh under subjection. And so that's where I think of, okay, you need to do this, you need to do this. We see how Paul identifies here what it is that is going on. Where we're in chapter 5 of Galatians, we're going to start here, verse number 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, we're going to continue on in this passage, but I want to stop here for a moment to just show the difference in the wording of how Paul says this when he says about a believer can walk in the Spirit, but he says that the person, if they do this, they will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, he doesn't say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not walk in the flesh. And this is where so many individuals, even those who understand right division, struggle with this concept, because they'll start talking about how I did the wrong thing and I was walking in the flesh at the moment that I was doing that. Well, if you're walking in the flesh, which means that you're identified in the flesh, that means you're no longer part of what God's doing and you've lost your salvation. That's a big problem. An individual today who is a member of the body of Christ cannot walk in the flesh. And we'll see, you know, probably next week, the passages that talk about how the only thing that can come from the flesh is condemnation to the person. You know, now, what a believer can do is what Paul's saying here, fulfill the lust of the flesh. So what happens is the believer, you know, they're walking in the Spirit, and then they give in to the things of the flesh, so they stop properly functioning. They're not identified as being, well, I'm in the flesh and I'm separated from God, but they're doing the things that God would not have them to do. And that's why you see as he continues on here, verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And we see how there's this list of what Paul identifies and calls the works of the flesh. And a believer, if they're functioning according to the doctrine that's laid out in Romans through Philemon, the individual is not going to give in to these works of the flesh, because they're going to understand how all of these things are contrary to what God would have us do today. They're contrary to the doctrine. They're contrary to the issue of us being able to walk in the Spirit, as the Apostle Paul's laying this out. Because the result of walking in the Spirit is we should have what we're now going to see in verses 22 and 23 here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These things, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith, the meekness, and the temperance, these are the things that are to come out of a believer today if we are functioning, again, according to how God's word would lay it out, according to the doctrine that's been given to us. And instead of what so many people try to do and try to get the, we've talked about this, of that thing of how do we establish someone, while we have to put a person under the law, and we have to put them under that performance system to get the, if we get the flesh going right, then the rest of the things are going to fall in place. Well, that's Israel's program. That's the things of the law. That's not what's given to us, the body of Christ. We are to be doing the things not according to the law, because we're not under the law. We're under the dispensation of the grace of God. We've been made free from the law. We've been taken away from any of those things of what the law should have done for the nation of Israel. And Israel proved the whole thing of that a person never could have kept all the things of the law. And instead of it being the things of the law, God has extended grace unto mankind. God has given salvation to mankind, given us the opportunity to be part of what God's doing, not for the things of the earthly program, which was Israel, but a heavenly hope, which has been given to us, the members of the body of Christ, that we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ, ruling and reigning with him in the heavenly places for all eternity. And all because we've put our trust in the gospel message for today. Now we'll pick up with some of this in our next episode. And As we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of, you know, study articles. We have messages from, you know, that were recorded from our Sunday messages. We have information on how to join our Sunday service live on Facebook, how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything on our website, anything on our broadcast, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.